Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Know his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Amen. Can you appreciate the choir again? Can you appreciate them? I appreciate you. I don't know what was going through your mind as they sang. For me, what came to my mind was, I don't know, have you ever played the guitar in the bathroom? While you are bathing and you are playing the guitar, you are singing guitar. Or you are holding microphone. And you are, and you are pouring water, you're there, Lord. Amen. That was what I was seeing. Or you are in the kitchen. You are cooking and you are dancing in the spirit. Hallelujah. You are making melody. Not to Bob Marley, but to the Lord. Amen. You know, I once said that in heaven we are not going to be singing. Well, that is not accurate. It's not like we're going to gather together all the time to be singing to God. But everything you are doing, you'll be singing and worshiping. You'll be making melody. There will be joy that will just oozing out of your heart. So when the time comes for you to gather, you'll still continue to sing. So heaven is a place an atmosphere of consistent joy in the Lord. So it's good for you to learn how to sing now. Amen. Have I balanced my teaching? Praise God. Those are things that I don't like sing songs. I like songs, but when it is in the Lord, I like it. Choir, thank you. God bless you. I appreciate you. You know, yesterday they were rehearsing and I loved the song. But this morning I guess Satan said, you have done your own. I will do my own. And we got there this morning and generator did not work. There are times in life when what you plan doesn't work. You don't get stuck there. You find a way around it. Is that okay? So even if the generator does not work and we don't have light, you must learn how to praise God. God has given you hands. He has given you leg. What else do you need? He has given you voice. Amen. If your hand is not enough, use the table. Bang it and dance and worship. Hallelujah. Is that okay? Don't say, that worship this day could flow. It didn't flow. You need deliverance. Ben, you need deliverance. Because your heart is there. Don't let those things condition you. Are you with me? You should be able to rejoice without those things. These things are just additions. This is not the real thing. Amen. You can make melody in your heart. You don't say drum to the Lord in your heart. Drum to the Lord with the instruments of drums. Are you with me? I don't know why I'm saying this. I don't know. Praise God. I have more serious problems to solve this morning than that one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. No, Bro Shala was, you took one song. I don't know why you took that song. It's not a song. We stopped singing those songs long, 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 long time ago. It's not common. You know the song, Pastor? You know the song? Which song is that? Eh? Goodbye world. We don't sing those songs again. Now we are come world. And that's what I was speaking about this morning. I woke up on Saturday morning and I heard in my spirit, you are not like them. And I was like, why is this coming? I had known this, but why is it coming again? You are not like them. most of us are unconscious of that simple truth that you are not like them. Father, I'm asking this morning that you grant me the right utterance. You give me the right words and the right and accurate references that your people will be convinced that they are not like them. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Why did that come to me? Over time, I have seen that most of the people in the church, I don't know how many of us came into church. I don't know how. I don't know what you heard. But if you read the old central, the central theme that runs from the book of Genesis to Revelation, that the people of God are distinct. Are you with me? They are what? They are distinct. There are only two kinds of children on earth. You don't have more than two. You are either the child of God or you are the child of the devil. There is no in between. I've been saying this, but it's as if that Saturday morning, the king came forcefully to me and said, you are not the same. When God was speaking to Israel, and was actually Moses speaking to them in the song that he wrote, he said, their rock is not like our rock. So even our enemies know. And the problem Israel kept having was that they could not learn that distinction. That they and the Gentiles are not alike. Of course, down the line, the only thing that they learned is that separation. That religious separation. Like a Jew will not shake you. A Jew will not sit with you. A Jew will not eat with you. Praise the Lord. Because he knows he's not like you. Amen. That was one of the greatest problems that Paul had to contend with. That thing is too strong in the heart of a Jew. Because he knows is not like a Gentile. Amen. And so when Paul came, Paul said, look, God in Christ has merged and removed that partition between the Jews and the Gentiles. It is only in Christ. Please, outside of Christ, that division exists. Are you with me? When a Jew sees an American, all he's seen is a Gentile, an uncircumcised Philistine. A Jew does not respect. Look, there was a time, the Six-Day War. Israel was to enter, where's the capital of Egypt? Cairo. They were a few kilometers into Cairo when Russia sent message that if they enter Cairo, they will enter that war. Small Israel. You want to don't state. They told Russia to go to places. If they want to come, let them come. It took America to beg them, please, we don't want world war. They don't fear Gentiles. Because they know their God. I was watching a documentary. That Six-Day War, a particular contingent of soldiers had run out of ammunition. They had no ammo. Only one person had a few bullets left. It was to shoot that bullet and wait for their death. When suddenly the whole Arabs just stopped, cried Abraham, and they all turned and fled. And they were like, what happened? They said years after, because when they came into peace with Egypt, they now became friends. They now said you were in that. So they were talking, and they mentioned that particular battle. And they said, you were in that battle. That was like, yes. Why did you guys run away? He said, where we were coming? He said, we saw mighty beings in shining armor with swords drawn. He said, we've had to flee. They know. That is their inheritance. And they know it. But you don't know nothing. Many of us are blind to what we have. Many of you think that you are like them. The problem is with your mentality. You have a wrong mentality. A Jew knows. Why does he know that? Because he knows he's a child of a covenant. You don't know the power of a covenant. When you are brought into covenant, everything the second party has is yours. It is in the interest of that second party that no harm comes to you, because that is part of the rules of the covenant. So a Jew knows that I'm a son of Abraham, I'm the son of Isaac, I'm the son of Jacob. David said, who is this circumcised Philistine? Are you a leader? They say he's a warrior. He has been fighting since he was small. He's uncircumcised. And they were looking at me. Boy, so okay. Sorry. Praise God. I know the insult. To have insult on injury. In our carry stones. Who does that? I'm very sure he'd be carried sand. Go there for Goliath will die. Why will that happen? It's covenant. Praise God. They said that will leja. Do you know they've finished? When an aunt looks up to you and said, I dare you. An aunt will say, don't be foolish and say, he has something that is backing him. You should think that what is backing this guy? Praise God. Even in Nigeria, naturally, don't you do it? You don't know me. You don't know me. I will show you. Then the police will say, I don't know who's backing this guy. Praise God. But do you know who is backing you? Paul said that, listen, said neither death, neither angel, neither anything can turn you away from the love of God. God will not change his mind about you. But the problem is with you and I. Many of us love the world. We still love the world. And the history of Israel should be a lesson to all of us. That you cannot love God and love the world. It doesn't work. Hallelujah. I pray this message will find a place in your heart. It is not a loss. See, God kept telling Israel, we read Deuteronomy chapter 7 this morning, and God kept warning Israel, don't make any covenant with them. You understand? Don't worship their idols. Don't learn their ways. Don't learn their customs. Amen. And he said that the things and the rules and the laws I'm giving you will make you wise in the sight of all the nations. But a time came, the Bible says, after that generation that saw the signs and the mighty hands of God in the days of Joshua, when that generation died, a generation arose that did not know they did not know the Lord. I was talking to one of my daughters yesterday. I said, your generation, you don't know God. And whose fault is it? Us. Because we didn't tell you about him. Then I'm afraid that if we pass away and you have to take over, what will you have to hand over to the next generation? America is in trouble today. But it needs be, because prophecies need to be fulfilled. That's KJV English. Hallelujah. When the president is talking about pregnant women flying combat jets, and they have to design suits for them to wear to go. Who sends their pregnant women to war? Are you mad? There's no future for your country when you don't have children. Are you with me, church? Things are going down. And I say, yes, the end of America has come. It needs must come. Otherwise, the Antichrist will not rise. He has something must give. Praise God. But it's sad that it's happening in my eyes. There was the mighty Babylon. When the prophet stood that day, I said, Babylon, Babylon the great is falling. People looked at him, so okay. So badum. You don't know Babylon? It's Babylon. Is it fighting the Ifatis? Is it sorcery? They are good at sorcery. Those guys, when they go to battle, have you heard about Ogbonugbogunboro? Agbogunboro, Eshesa. I did study Yoruba in school. Don't worry. I was born in Lagos. Hallelujah. Amen. They said of him that when they cut his head off in battle, he will pick his head and put it back. Can you find that kind of person? Is it not time for you to carry your leg and run? That was how they captured him and took him to Ibadan. And Ibadan could not kill him because the oracle said if his blood touched the ground of Ibadan, that Ibadan will be cursed forever. What kind of human being is that? They could not kill him. So Ibadan to now say, well, if we cannot kill you, we will spite you. They now drew the map of Ibadan on his face. Anywhere he goes, he will have the mark of an Ibadan indigene. Praise God. So till he died, he bore that shame. And the Jeshaman, behind the shame of Ibadan marks on his face. So they will ask you, sir, kill Ibadan, no. When the enemy captures you, we put mark on your face. That's what the devil does. When he captures Samson, they took his eyes out. You are not like them. Do not desire their customs. Do not desire their ways. There is no pleasure in it. Yea, it invites trouble for you. Hallelujah. I think I should read Bible, Abby. I've quoted scriptures, but you may say, Pastor, you didn't read Bible. So let me read Bible. Amen. Look at Ezekiel 44:23. Now, this was what God told the priest. This was the requirement of the ministry of the priest. Is this thing going to project, or do I read? Okay. This is what God said to tell the priest. This was their mandate. Say, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and what? The profane. And cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. That's our primary assignment. If we fail here, we have failed in everything. If you cannot understand that which is holy from that which is profane, you can't discern it, you can't differentiate it, then we have wasted. In fact, we have failed miserably. Except, of course, you harden your heart as in the days of provocation and say, we will have our way. Then am I free from every man's blood? But what was God's grouse? Now go to Ezekiel. I want us to read Ezekiel. Ezekiel 22:26. This was now what happened. This was, come and look at what God began to say about the priests. They did not do it. He says, our priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Hallelujah. That was what led to the captivity. And some of you say that, Pastor, why is your own? Why is it so much? People have bigger churches. Don't make all this wahala. It happened in those days. There was a man called Jeremiah. He was not popular. Jeremiah was young. Was not a well-known, was not an established prophet in Israel. As it were, there were more established prophets. And so one day, he came into the temple. And a profound prophet stood up and said, thus hear the Lord. Praise God. I love that. When you hear thus hear the Lord, the whole place must be quiet. Hallelujah. The Lord says, by this time in 2 years, I will break the yoke. He now took the wooden yoke and broke it. I will break the yoke of Babylon. We'll be free. And brother Jeremiah said, amen. All of us, we like amen. As we're reading that, I will make this amen. He said his condition, if you will obey, I will do this. It's not amen thing. Praise God. It's not a prayer. It's a consequence of an action. Am I communicating? Brother Jeremiah said amen. Everybody in this temple said amen. And they were hokabale no sola. Here papa, Lord in heaven. Not Jeremiah. Nebuchadnezzar will not prosper. I rebuke him. I kill him. I counsel him. I send fire against him. Let the angel of the Lord smite him. They finished the prayer meeting.
And Jeremiah went home.
When was I about to get home? God said, go back to the temple. I did not send the prophet. For he has taught Israel rebellion. Say, so he has broken the yoke of wood. Say, so I replace it with iron. Jejed Israel Joko, that prophet created a problem. The wood would have been good for them. But that he has now done it, is that I replace with iron. And God go tell him he would die. And that prophet died. Because he taught Israel rebellion. What was the rebelliousness there? Because he made them believe a lie. Leadership is dangerous. It's beyond carrying my Bible. I was telling Star Sadia yesterday night. I said leadership exposes us to great judgment. It's not preaching. I love the way the pastor is talking. I love the way he's dancing on the pulpit. You come and join. You will see your eye. If you are not sure yourself, don't carry microphone. It's more than wearing suit. It's more than dressing fine. Because if you don't teach people to discern between that which is holy and that which is profane. Because if yourself do not know, what will you teach the other people? Do you know that in the Old Testament, one of the trainings of the priest is that he can look at a sacrifice and know and see blemish. Because if he offers that sacrifice in that blemish form, God will not reject and God will punish him. Well, it was one who brought it. You don't understand. You are the one that brought the cow. But there was, he has boy somewhere hidden, which is blemish. And I collect it from you and go and sacrifice it. It is me that God will strike, not you that brought it. Because I didn't see it. So you see that one of the natures of a priest is that he will look at you and he can discern a blemish in your life and call it there's a blemish there. Some of you get offended. How can you be telling me, I'm not perfect? That is why you came to church, that God can perfect you. Many of you are so intelligent that when you argue, even those of us that went to school before you do, you can't even answer. You won't prosper like that. The work of the ministers and the ministry gift is to bring you to perfection. It's to equip you. And some of the equipping means that they have to correct you. I said, don't do this. Don't go here. I said, there's too much laws and regulations here. Yes, nobody runs a government without regulations. Not even God. So what makes you think that you can, they said we have liberty. You have liberty to serve. Do you understand that? You have liberty to serve. You were saved to be a servant. You were not saved to run free. Have you, you know, many of you don't. Yeah, did you watch when they were doing this marriage? The Charles, you were very young then. When they, those talons, those horses were, oh, come, oh, Lord. Life is good. When you're in LG, praise God. I could see those horses, they didn't miss a step. They didn't even look at each other. And they were marching in order. But they were not born like that. They were born wild. They tamed them. The wild ones are in the wild. Do you understand me? They're in the jungles. You don't want to enjoy God going down there? It is lawless men you find in the jungles. The people who are well arranged, you find them in the city serving the king. Praise God. So when we talk about your dressing, when we talk about your mannerism, when we talk about your character, some of you believe if I marry a woman, the woman must, when she comes to serve me, she must sit down on two legs or three legs or four legs, carrying the food on her head and say, Lori, me. And I say, no, it's not like that. Say, Pastor, that is how they taught me. The people who taught you didn't teach you well. And we're saying, change. I say, as it was in the beginning. There's no hope for you. So for you now, we just send angels to go and break your leg as they broke the leg of Jacob. But that's the only way you can change, because you won't hear. And even after they have broken your leg, you said, like Kurumi, no, not till I've been disgraced. We will leave you alone. Beloved, things are serious. Don't let us compromise our calling. You are not like them. There's nothing to desire. Some of you, I've been saying it, I think I was joking. And I'm not really joking, though. You want to marry, and when we look at your picture, when we look at you, you don't look like the person we know. What's the problem? Are you going for Nollywood? You don't know, the person, look, you say, I learned. Can I learn again? Makeup. Makeup. You make up because you are deficient. We are deficient. I want like to make up. I understand God knows. You are deficient. It means you are telling us you are not fine enough. But more importantly, what is on your face is the image of something else. Somebody captured an imagination somewhere in the realm of the spirit. Many of you don't know that you look like spirits. It's true. It's true. Let me tell you, it's true. All the sisters, stand up. All of you. All of you. If you know you're a sister and a woman, stand up. All of you, stand up. I don't want to say this lady. I've looked at all your faces. None of you is ugly. All of you, you are all beautiful. Brothers, put your hands together for them. Gbogbo ile, fine. You don't need any extra. This was what the brother saw when he said he wants to marry you. Please don't bring another face when it's time for marriage. Don't bring it. Praise God. This was your eyebrow. You now do your own like this. You have become alien. Please sit down. You are all beautiful. Don't let the devil tell a lie that let us change your face. For what reason? These are the customs and the ways of the world. You don't need it. You are beautiful enough. Benny. Don't bury yourself with most of you, Lenny. Don't let any boy come and tell you, you are very beautiful. I have told you already beautiful. So don't. That is not a revelation. Praise God. Honestly, all of you are beautiful. All of you. Amen. Mommy is giving me a message to preach. What happened to the fans that were supposed to be here? The fan. You just like me to just suffer today. Because you don't like what I want to preach. God see you. Amen. Why did Jesus say in Luke chapter 6, 22? Hear what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, 22. He said this, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and they shall reproach you and cast you out, or cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake." Listen to me. The reason why the world will hate you is because you are not like them. Look, people don't like what is not like them. They are afraid of what is not like them. When they look at you, this guy is not like us. He doesn't like going to night parties. He doesn't like discussing girls. He doesn't like discussing boys. He doesn't like dressing like us. He doesn't like going out. He doesn't like the things we like. So they separate you. That's what Jesus Christ said, "For my sake." But if you like them, said, listen to me. Jesus, it was what I said it to. It was Jesus who said it to. I was not the one, though. Said, if you deny me before men, your problem is that you like men and you like their praises. You don't want to hear the praise of Jesus. Look, listen to me. The most devastating state. statement you can get from Jesus is that I don't know you. There's nowhere to go. Go say appeal. There's no explanation. There's nothing. Say, because you rejected me, you denied me before me, I also will deny you on that day. So, who exactly do you want to please? I read the story of a man who wanted to please his father. The father was very busy, and I take a lesson from that. I actually took a lesson from Kenneth Hagin. And that's why I don't play with my kids. I don't play with my kids. I learned from Hagin. Hagin had an international preaching engagement, and the publicity had gone all over America. And while he was, and as he was preparing for that program, his son, what's his name? Hagin Jr. had inter-house sports on that day. Kim Osako, they have. Inter what? What is spiritual about inter-house sports? But the son was going to participate in that, and was going to run in that inter-house sports. And the boy said, Daddy, will you come and watch me? Then there was a problem between the work of the master and the work of the son. Who will you choose? Pastor, choose you this day. Move yourself. So like a man of God, we are going to do the work of a master. And so he had made his mind up. And while he was praying, God said, thou shalt not go for the program. But you go and attend the entire sport of your son. Olua, if it is not you, I will say this is the devil. God said, go. So, say, but they have already printed and be, God did not talk again. Because when he gives instruction, he doesn't talk again. He argued and argued. God is a queen. So reluctantly, carry full. Hello? Ha, man of God, we're waiting for you. Ah, the thing is moving. They are waiting for a miracle. He said, sorry, I'm not coming. Ah, man of God, you're not doing what? How can you not say? Why? Okay, why? My son is a sport. Well, light, I lie. You can imagine what, how they, ah, man of God, you are backsliding. He didn't go for that program. I don't know how they solved their problem, but he didn't go. He went to his son's entire sport. I don't know whether the son came first or came last. Nobody knows. But that he was there for his son to cheer him up, to encourage him, was what endeared Junior to his father. They bonded. You don't understand. If he had not gone, that boy would have disassociated himself from his father. You wonder why many children of pastors do end up in ministry. Something went wrong somewhere. They saw when their father was begging for bread. Saw when their father was struggling for the sake of the ministry. And nobody in the church cared about them. And the vow that I will not serve the God of my father. I beg you. Jesus told again, God first, your family second, church second, third. Shegbo, Emilio Pichel. Shegbo, take care of your family. Take care of your what? Because if you lose your wife and your children, what have you gained? You are in heaven and your children and your wife are in hell. Because you go and see the people in hell. You'll be doing the excursion. Those stubborn people that did not listen to the gospel, let's just go and look at them in hellfire. Boys, let's say hell. Let's say enjoy hell. Bad Jesus, or talk to Jesus to free us. Then you now see your wife are there. What will be your joy? Does that now mean you will not come to church? Eh? Because your wife has a dick. My wife has a dick. I can't come to church. The Lord will give you wisdom. Or some of you will say, you remember somebody said, Lord, wait for me. I want to go and bury my father. Do you remember that story? And let me go bury my father. He said, let the dead go bury the dead. Follow me. Praise God. So God will give you wisdom. Please hear me properly. I didn't say don't come to church again, no. You know, man, you explain, but on Tuesday evening, and then I can't come to you because my family is a man. You don't do that. God have mercy on us. Praise the Lord. Do you remember the scripture that was preached? Let us look at Ephesians 4 as I begin to come to a close. Ah, Lord, I have many scriptures to write. In Ephesians 4, Paul was speaking about the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4 from 11. You pick that thought from 11. He said, this is why he gave the church. Now, see, when he said, Lord, bless me. In a way, he has actually blessed you. Because remember in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, he said he has blessed all spiritual blessings where in heavenly places. This is part of the blessings. This is part of your inheritance. And he gave, Auntie Mulo, he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists, he gave some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for what? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. The next verse, the next one, hurry up, please, hurry up. Because I will take time, because if you don't, hurry up. Till we all come to where? To the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto what? A perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, hear this. That we, for that reason, that we henceforth, you know it's of it. God bless you. No more what? Children. What is the major characteristics of a child? Huh? He's restless. He's selfish. The world revolves around him. What else again? Anything his eyes see must enter his mouth. He has not less self-control. A woman asks a man of God, we're talking about child upbringing. Say, man of God, when should I start disciplining my child? The man asks, how old is your child? He said, 2 weeks old. He said, you are 2 weeks late. From the day the child was born, so you quen, quen, quen. If you're a mom, you know that children bite the nipples of their mother. Wagba, anyway, wagba, quen. It will register in his oblonka. He will know. He don't bite. So after beating, he will associate the biting with the beating. He will know. But that is my baby. He's very, very, this baby. I waited for 50 years to get this baby. Don't talk. You will kill that child. No more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind. You know what they call wind? You know what they call doctrine? Many of you, doctrine is not just preaching. Doctrine is in your, when you are with your friends. Inila, material show you. To buy washer, you are fine. It's a doctrine. If you believe it, you will go and buy it. The latest dress in town is this church, Shokoto, that they tear. It's a doctrine. They carry you about. When you come to church again, pastor preach, you will have remorse. But when you get back, another doctrine will come. It will carry you away again. We'll be blowing you here and blowing you there. You are still a child. But the question is, how long will you remain a child? And the Bible says, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Many of you know those things are driven by spirits. They are driven by fallen angels. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks about it. That the prince of the power of the air is walking in the children of disobedience. That you are born again does not mean that those demons will not attempt to control your mind. They will attempt to control you. It's up to you to say no. That's why there is grace. Do you understand? That the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us to say no. You can say no if you want to, but many of you will not say no because there's a lust in your soul. Then continue. But speaking the truth in what? In love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Sometimes when we are speaking and you don't like it, it's actually speaking truth to you. Amen. It's not all truth you like. Have you not heard he said that truth is bitter? The one that is even bitter is one that is very, very true. The more truer the truth, the more bitter that truth is. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me take my last scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. I want to read the NISV version. Romans 12, 1 to 3. Do you have it? Okay, you can keep the KJV if you don't have the ISV version. It says, I therefore hold you. When I say therefore, that means something has gone before. Are you with me? There has been an argument that Paul had been making. I hold you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as what? Living sacrifices. That are holy and pleasing to God. Say, for this is the reasonable way for you to worship. The offering of your bodies, your body like the one inside your cloth. Are you with me? It's not, where is faith? Faith. Bele. Book is too much. You will pass. Bele. You will pass. It's not by power, not by might. They will bring it for you. You will just see it and you will just go and do it. Praise God. So when you talked about, in the morning, do you remember, faith, I'm asking to pay attention. When you say your body is evil, will you present what is evil to God? No. When I say this, your body is God's temple. Say that's what you should present to him as an holy sacrifice. This is the most reasonable worship. Now, will you now begin to change the configuration of that body? Because there's a particular story, there's a particular instruction in Old Testament. Say you will not make markings on your body. All these things are products of image and products of imaginations. And they are basically idolatry. Remember Aaron, the story of Aaron and that golden calf. When Moses asked him, Aaron, what have you done? He said, I did not know. They gave me the reed and everything, and I cried and I threw it inside the fire, and this was what came out. He was talking to an idiot. It came from his imagination. And that imagination was influenced by fallen angels. They projected that thought into his mind and he produced it. You must be careful what is entering your mind. You must be careful what you are projecting. You must be very careful. There's a scripture that God said, you see, the reason why God did not allow them to build the altars on high places. So that when you are, because in the Gentile world, you see zigzags, these things, platforms that they used to be like pyramids, that you climb up the stairs to go and offer worship. Are you with me? It was common with the Gentile nations. God said, you will not do that. You will put my altar on the plain ground. Lest when you climb, the people under and see your nakedness. So God hates people seeing people's nakedness or nakednesses. But you now, the more you can show, the better for you. That's the wrong custom. Some of you say, how far can I show? Once you start showing what you should not show, you are falling spirits. You know why? Do you know why there are more female prostitutes than male prostitutes? You don't know why? Because it's easy for men to see women and their head will turn. You don't understand. When a man looks at a naked mad woman, nothing trips him. She's naked completely. You are not moved. You just walk by. But let the woman hide a little and just reveal dear. His imagination will go out of control. So you see prostitutes because they the attire of a prostitute. It will just wear small and show you the meaning, just a little small, and let your imagination run wild. That's what you want to copy. And you say, it's okay. Our generation is changing. Everything is changing. You are changing to hell. Because the Bible says the nations that forget God will run to hell. And these are the things that will accelerate their going there. You don't join them. Hallelujah. Please sisters, preserve yourself for your husband. He's the only one that has the right to see your nakedness. No other person. I hope that one is not too bitter. Please, it's not. Please, preserve that body. If the brothers cannot see how fine you are, it is their fault. The day your husband sees you after the first honeymoon and you strip yourself naked, he says, wow, thank God I did not miss you. That is the testimony that God wants to hear. It's not that all the brothers now see you and all of them are lusting for you. Woe betide you if 10 of them hear the Lord at the same time. I said, the Lord told me you are my wife. The Lord told me you are my wife. The Lord told me you are my wife. Some may like your hair. Some may like your masquerade face. Some may like the tie you are showing. But let me tell you by experience, I've watched people. If you expose tie for a brother and he loves your ties, I can bet you 20 years down the line, another small girl will show him ties. He will follow her. If he does not love you for who you are, then he doesn't deserve you. One will tell you, that was one of my girls. I'm not abusing anybody. I said, Pastor, I found a young man. I said, oh, now, I was like, okay. And I got to say, where is he from? He says, from Benin. I said, Benin, Christianity, Geke Lego. He said, he's the son of a pastor. His parents are pastors. He's Benin. I said, okay. After many months, Sister, how far? He said, I don't know. You don't know what? What did you just tell me? What is going on? Said the brother. Hey, what is wrong with the brother? Said, parabole. I nailed that. What exactly is it? He said he wanted sex. I said, did I not tell you that Benin brothers? Any Benin man that it was not Archbishop Bidawosa that worked on him, he get K-leg. I'm not abusing anybody. Do you understand me? I just say you should go around and say, yeah, where are you from? You have been like Pastor Misa, I'm not married now. Not necessarily. Who knows whether he has met a pastor who has helped to reconfigure his soul. It's a problem we face as pastors. Every locality have their demons. And they are all affecting you. Akure has their own. Akure? You want to marry Akure again? Our Akure ma? Yeah, they must have done deliverance for him. If they've not done deliverance, be careful. Be careful. I'm only saying be careful. Pray. They all... You can marry Jare. Yeah, okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. One more scripture. My time is up. One more scripture and I'll close on this. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3. Verse 3 and 4. I'm closing. This is the last one. I'm just going to mention. Say, for the time will come and now has come. We are now in that time. What the Bible says, when they shall not endure what? Sound doctrine. But after their own what? Lust. Shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. We have entered that time. My prayer and my begging. Don't let this scripture be fulfilled in your life. That's my prayer. That's what I'm begging you for. Make up your mind. No matter how difficult the truth is, make up your mind to accept it. Are you with me? Make up your mind to what? To accept it. That is what will save you in the times we have found ourselves. It's not going to get better. No. There will be pastors who will rise after us, who have more anointing than us. They have more utterance, and they will tell certain things that don't matter. Be careful. It's going to come. Because they warned us, they will come. They will come. If you are not committed to hearing truth, If you are not committed to doing truth, you will fall. It will be a tragedy. I haven't done all this. I haven't served. I haven't given. I haven't done so much. You meet the Lord, and the Lord said, "Say, I don't know you." Kai. I pray that God will see the best thing that God will just take away. Look, you know, his discussion is in the book of Revelation. He told some church, "Repent. I've not found your work perfect. It is love, who that Jesus will tell them." There are people he has not told anything. He kept quiet. Pam, he didn't say, they finished their life. He didn't say one word. May you find mercy. May the Lord show you mercy. May the Lord walk up to you and bring correction your way. May the Lord establish your going, even in the way of truth, in the name of Jesus. May you understand that you are not like them. May you be strong to abide by the standards of God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise and glory. Just appreciate the Lord. Thank him for choosing you. You are special. That's why I say you are a peculiar person. You are a peculiar generation. You are peculiar. You are peculiar. You are not like them. You are not like them. Just give him praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.